Hey, you want that to go?
I'm Lynn Scherr in for Celeste Headley for a few days here with John Hockenberry. Hi, John.
Good morning, Lynn.
And now it's time for some takeout, some stories we've been following. Representative Charlie Rangel was one of the last to speak at yesterday's healthcare summit. And shortly after it ended, he was greeted with some very unwelcome accusations by his colleagues in the form of an ethics investigation. Here is Congressman Rangel.
The report further finds that Representative Charles B. Rangel violated the House gift rules by accepting payment for reimbursement for travel to the 2007 and 2008 conferences.
And that, of course, was Charlie Rangel talking about himself and what the accusations are. We are joined now by the Takeaways Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick, in Washington about this. Todd, this is not good news for the congressman.
No, it's not, but it's better news than he might have expected. I want to take it one step further, Lynn. These are not accusations from the Ethics Committee. This is a conclusion that Charlie Rangel, who is extremely powerful and one of the most senior members of the House, did violate House rules when he allowed a nonprofit to pay for a trip to the Caribbean that he and several other members of Congress went on. That was the nonprofit was backed by several major corporations, Citigroup, Pfizer, Verizon, AT&T, companies like that, that Charlie Rangel knew or should have known that that major corporate sponsors were backing this nonprofit that paid for his trip. That's a violation of House rules.
And Todd, this is not a new set of problems for him. This has been going on for some time.
For some time, and it's not the only set of accusations against him. Charlie Rangel is also under investigation for allegedly improperly using his position as a senior House member to raise money for a Charlie Rangel Institute at the City University of New York. There have been no determinations on those accusations made yet.
And we will keep following this and see what turns up. Thanks, Todd, in Washington. John?
Of course, Charlie Rangel, head of the Ways and Means Committee. That's a huge power shift in Congress if he has to go. We turn now to the Olympics, take out Jason Stallman, Olympics editor for our partner, The New York Times, out there in Vancouver one more time. We talked about medals earlier this morning, Jason, but it seems to me one of the things that has dominated this game is Lindsey Vonn, this great skier, great U.S. skier, but it's more her narrative rather than the emotional content of what's her narrative that's dominated the games rather than her actual skiing. What do you think?
It's an interesting notion, John. You know, going into the games, she was very much the face of the U.S. delegation. She was planning to compete in five events in alpine skiing, considered a medal contender in at least two of those. And so much has happened to her. Before the games even began, she announced that she had a shin injury that might hold her back. It looks like she's going to compete in all five events. The last one is today. That's the slalom. She's not considered a strong gold medal contender there. She's had some conflict with a teammate, Julia Mancuso. They've competed against each other for a long time. They came up in the same system.
Let's talk about the Vonn versus Mancuso. Here's Lindsey Vonn talking about her sort of emotional stakes in this whole games.
It's amazing. I mean, I've given up everything for this, and it means everything to me. It's why I work hard. It's why I'm in the gym, and, you know, my family's here supporting me, and it's just, it's awesome.
You know, do some of the other members of the team feel that it's Lindsey that gets all the emotional support and maybe they're left in the shadows?
Some of Mancuso's comments have indicated as much. There might be a little bit of a resentment mounting that it seems to be all about Lindsey Vonn for these Vancouver Olympics. Mancuso has the same number of medals. She has two silvers going into the slalom on the final day.
That's interesting. Okay, so Apollo Ohno, how was this games for him?
Apollo Ohno, he has to be happy. He's 27 years old. His aspirations probably are not what they once were. He goes into the last day of competition in short track, having achieved what he set out to achieve in these Vancouver Olympics, and that's come away with the most total medals for an American Winter Olympian. He has seven, and he has a chance to win probably one more in the 500 meters. He's also in a relay, the 5,000 tonight. Americans not expected to do particularly well there.
And is his future endorsements or maybe as an urban messenger? I mean, he is a speed skater.
Who knows what he's going to do? You know, he's been on Dancing with the Stars. He's a charismatic character. And if he does retire from short track, I have to imagine he'll be in the public eye going forward.
Well, he's a blur on skates. And Jason Stallman, thanks so much for being with us this entire Vancouver Olympic Games.
Thank you.
Jason Stallman, Olympics editor for our partner, The New York Times, our own Olympic takeout athlete. Gold medalist, I'd say.
John, our final takeout comes from our lovely listeners. You, all of you out there, heard part of our week-long series, Frustration Nation, just a few minutes ago. But we got some good feedback from you on yesterday's installment. If you're a high school civics teacher, how do you teach good governance with congressional gridlock? And what about if you're a student?
Politics has become more or less about the R or the D behind your name than actually getting anything done.
Oh, wow, that's cynical. That's one of our guests yesterday, Amina Green, a junior at Detroit School of Arts. And to that cynicism, we got some advice that everyone can do.
This is Glenn Maxwell in Detroit. What we have to do as citizens, we vote every 4 years, but in between that, we need to let our representatives and our senators know exactly what we want from them. But you can call, you can write, and you can email your senators and representatives, and it makes a big difference.
Hillary agrees on my site, thetakeaway.org. She posts, citizen action does work. I would like to see students learn more about this. They should be encouraged to speak out and find out they can really make a difference, as they saw during Obama's campaign. And one person said maybe 18 years of age is not the right age for voting.
Because people of that age aren't paying taxes, they don't own property, they don't have children, they aren't married. So none of the things that a real tax-paying voter has to deal with are having to be dealt with by these 18-year-olds. Yet they all feel that they should have a say, and I'm not saying they shouldn't. They need to wait and have a proper say.
But they do go off to Iraq and Afghanistan. I don't know if I buy that one, but call us with your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment on our website, thetakeaway.org.